Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It is Tuesday, May 15th, 2012. My goodness, halfway through the month already, coming up on the Memorial Day weekend and the start of summer. Oh, how time flies when you're watching the government self-destruct here. All right, Dan the Man is in the control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We're coming up here two more days. Sibel Edmonds is going to be our guest here on the show, talking about her book, Classified Woman, and a reminder starting June 4th. The What Really Happened radio show will move to a three-hour slot here at the Republic Broadcasting Network, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday. It's a three-hour show, so we're going to have a lot more stuff to talk about, a lot more guests, planning a lot of other changes, going to have a lot more fun here. All righty. Now, amazingly enough, after more than 10 years of destroying our tourism, dropping our laptops, and basically leading to an explosion in easily communicable sexually transmitted diseases, the TSA, finally actually caught an international terrorist. It's absolutely amazing. And they groped him down, and they grabbed his crotch and all the rest of us, and then they let him go. Can you believe that? Now, of course, the guy we're talking about is Henry Kissinger, who has an international arrest warrant out for him from France and Spain because he's implicated in the death of French and Spanish citizens in the war in Chile. The guy's an international fugitive, wanted for war crimes. The TSA, which is supposed to be protecting us from these sorts of peoples, had him literally in their hands. They had him literally by the balls, and they let him go. Just absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. Meanwhile, over in Kuala Lumpur, the war crimes tribunal there has found both the Bush and Blair administrations guilty of war crimes regarding the conduct of Afghanistan and Iraq. So I guess there are some parts of the world that they shouldn't plan on visiting during their tourism and travel and summer vacation here. Geraldo Rivera is jumping on the Me Too bandwagon, claiming he was manually raped by a TSA agent. I guess the automatic rape machine was in the shop that day. And basically saying that they inappropriately manhandled him while doing a security check. Now, I think what's going on here is they're trying to send the message that, look, if these big people like Kissinger and Geraldo Rivera, who isn't as big as he thinks he is, you know, if they have to go through it, then you ought to just shut up and let your crotches be groped in the name of national security. I disagree. I disagree. Absolutely. It's just all about keeping you paralyzed with fear, where you don't want to do anything because the blue shirts will come and get you. Now, speaking of the blue shirts, the latest embarrassment, apparently a security supervisor at the Newark airport has been living under the name Jerry Thomas for about 20 years and was able to use a phony ID to get past the Port Authority and the Transportation Security Administration and the Newark airport background checks. He's been working as a supervisor. Could go onto the airplanes, could go down on the ground where all the equipment is kept to deal with the airplanes. Complete open, stolen identity. Used the name of a victim of an unsolved murder case. 20 years he's been doing it. Nobody caught him at it. But the TSA will grab your crotches on the airplanes or on the way to the airplanes, and they will drop and wreck your laptops. They're not checking their own people. They even admit they're not checking their own people. We're so backlogged, really. We just have to trust them, which is probably why you have so many of those TSA inspectors are willing to, you know, take a few thousand dollars and let a bag full of what they think are drugs onto the airplane. So terrorists, if there are any real ones out there, just, you know, wrap up your anthrax so it looks like cocaine. Give the TSA guy a couple of $1,000, they'll let you right on board the airplane. We're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. a complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call Bob New today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call Bob New today, 888-639-2621.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Leroy lives in a cardboard box down by the Mission Bell, where saints refuse to go and the sinners wish him well. Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine, it happens far too often.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I want to talk a little bit about this this media propaganda regarding Ron Paul. Now, as you're probably aware, yesterday the Ron Paul campaign issued a message that they were going to focus their remaining effort and funds, because remember, Ron Paul is not rich and no big corporations will support him. So they wanted to basically focus their resources on these state conventions where they're succeeding in winning controlling positions within the state parties and delegates to go to Tampa. It's a strategy that's working. Doesn't it make sense? Yeah, we're going to keep doing what's working. The media, though, were apparently they were waiting for something, anything that they could use to try and claim that Ron Paul was out of the race. And it was all over the place yesterday, all over the world press. Ron Paul is out. He's ending his campaign. He's this. He's that. Later in the day, when it became obvious that that's not exactly what Ron Paul had said, many of these corporate media outlets amended their story in the text to say he's still fighting at the state conventions and plans to go to Tampa. But they didn't change the headlines. So for those people who get their news simply by reading the headlines above the fold, the media is out there saying, oh, yeah, he's gone. He's gone. He was never a real candidate. We told you he was never going to be a real candidate. And it is such blatant media propaganda. And you got anybody within the campaign that's saying, heck no, we're not out. We're trying harder. We're going to focus on those state conventions because that's where they're getting the victory. Meanwhile, up in Michigan, dead people and prisoners have been casting ballots in those elections up there. I see dead people, and they don't know they're voting. And Michigan's Secretary of State is saying, it's all clerical errors, really, just spelling mistakes. You know, we ran out of the whiteout, and, you know, that's all it was. Yeah, it's a mistake. And if you believe that one, I got some of Saddam's weapons of mass destruction to sell you. Now, on to more serious things over there in Europe. Greece has abandoned their last-ditch attempt to come up with what they were going to call a technocrat government, which is sort of government light, where a bunch of people hate each other, try and make the country work anyway, on the assumption that what they couldn't agree to in the coalition talks somehow magically will not be an issue when they're in there actually running the country. So Greece has abandoned the hunt for a new government, and they're calling for a new election, which means none of Greece's economic issues are going to be solved anytime soon. Why is this a problem? Well, because as of today, Greece has a huge principal repayment due today, 436 million euro, which obviously they didn't make because that 436 million euro doesn't exist and never did. Now, under the normal contracts for these sort of things, Greece has a 7-day grace period before it's declared to be a default. But experts looking over all the documents say they found a key paragraph that would normally be in this contract is somehow magically missing, which gives Greece a 30-day period. Now, this has nothing to do with Greece. It has everything to do with Wall Street, because the instant Greece goes into default, whether it's today, 7 days, or 30 days, those pesky credit default swaps are going to become a real problem, because the people who bought those credit default swaps from Wall Street on Greece's debt are going to start pounding on the doors for their money. And so what this is, this magically vanishing paragraph, is a way for Wall Street to say, well, you know, technically they're not in default yet. They're not in default until this time runs out. And it gives them another 30 days to try and find a way to game the system. And that's what they're doing. They're gaming the system. They're just passing the problem along. They're desperate to reach November. It's not going to work. There's no chance they're going to hold this whole charade together till November. But the money junkies don't know any other way to proceed. Yeah, we've seen addicts. They'll do anything for that next hit. Sell their own children for that next hit. We've all seen addictive behavior. Now, the more rational people, of course, are out there saying, at this point, it looks like Greece is going to leave the Eurozone. The euro is going to take a major hit. The euro is at its lowest value following the downgrade of the Italian banks. Chancellor Merkel in Germany is saying solidarity for the euro was threatened by all this problem in Greece. Yeah, I think so. The cost of Spanish government borrowing hit a record high because nobody will buy their debt anymore because they don't have the money to pay it. It's all that 11th marble stuff. Now, Francois Hollande, the new French president, was sworn in and left for Berlin to hold talks with Mrs. Merkel. The story we're getting on the media was his plane was struck by lightning and they had to turn around and go back. Now, most modern passenger aircraft are actually designed to survive a lightning strike. So I'm not sure we're getting the straight story here, or if somebody was sending France's new president a warning to play ball with the money junkies, or he will not be president for very, very long. When Greece exits the European Union and goes back to the drachma, and their banks are already getting prepared to do that, it's expected it's going to hit Spain and Italy hardest. But, of course, inevitably, it's all linked together. That's the downside of globalism. One nation's problem is everybody's crisis. And that was why it was stupid to go along with this whole globalism plan in the first place. Now, as you're probably aware, Moody's downgraded 26 Italian banks. The ratings of those banks are now among the lowest in all of Western Europe. It slammed the value of the euro. Over in Spain, 100,000 people marching in the streets over austerity there. Now, interestingly enough, the lightning strike notwithstanding, France's new president made a lot of very popular campaign promises in terms of pulling back on austerity and telling the bondholders, look, the money doesn't have it. The money isn't there. We don't have it. Now that he's president, he's starting to do this song and dance about, well, now that I'm in the office and I see what the situation is and blah, 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 blah. So he's basically getting ready to sell out. Now he's president of France. He's going to sell out the French people to the money junkies. And he thinks nothing will happen because nobody's ever done anything about that before, ignoring that little scuffle from 1793 to 1808. And here's the problem, what it all comes down to all around the world. The money junkies seem to have forgotten that before they can loot the wealth from the people, they have to make sure the people have a way to earn that wealth in the first place. When the money junkies saddle a society with all this made-up manufactured debt, I mean, look what Papandreou and Goldman Sachs did to the people of Greece, and then you take their jobs away and send them over to some other country because it's going to save you a few bucks, don't expect there's any money left in that society to loot. And you can whine and scream and wave debt around all you want. If it's not there, it's not there. Wise rulership keeps the labor force working in order to have a good flow of revenues into the governmental and financial structure. Stupid rulers don't think about things like that. Venezuela has a very good idea about the proper way to make an economy work as a complete system, rather than simply, we're on top and we're going to pillage until it all collapses here. Now, an area of concern, I've talked about this before, the Baltic Dry Index is again heading down to what is expected to be historic lows. What is the Baltic Dry Index? Okay, the Baltic Dry Index is a measure of global shipping of raw material, which is always the first step in the cycle of product manufacture, transportation, warehousing, distribution, and sales, and money coming in from the consumers. So before any of that other stuff happens, somebody's got to dig the rock out of the ground or chop down the trees or the plants or suck up the chemicals, put it on a ship, and send it to where it's going to be turned into a usable product. And that's the Baltic Dry Index. It is one of the very few indexes that is not subject to manipulation by outside forces. And so it's considered very, very reliable. And as the Baltic Dry Index goes down, it basically says orders for manufactured goods have stopped. And the factories are slowing down and shutting down and letting people go. And the Baltic Dry Index is signaling the beginning of a new downturn, a new recession, a new depression, a new market collapse. Now, you wouldn't know it to look at the stock market here today. The plunge protection team has just been putting in overtime, looking at the Dow here. It opened, went way, way down, then that's that hard upward shove, and now it's trending down again. It's bouncing around the zero point. But you can see they're trying to basically, game the system up there again. And you can tell because the upward shoves are always smooth, and then it goes back to normal behavior of, lots of little bumps on the way down. Now, the corporate media is trying to push just how wonderful a thing this Facebook IPO is going to be and how it's going to be great. And they're trying to use the enthusiasm for that to get people to say, yeah, time to get back in the market. We're all going to get, make money off of everybody's friends list, which is actually not going to work. They're almost pre-bubbling Facebook. And I know the people who founded Facebook and have renounced their citizenship to save their taxes, they're going to make a killing. They're going to take their money and they're going to retire. And the people who buy into Facebook may not be getting the wonderful investment everybody says. There's been a lot of publicity. There's been a lot about, they did the movie and all this other PR stuff to sell you what a great phenomenon this is. And there's no question Facebook is a social phenomenon. Is it a moneymaker? I don't know. The mobile advertising revenues are still lagging way behind the desktop. And even though the alternative media is capturing the majority of the audiences, the big money advertising is still going to the corporate networks. Now, Facebook is going to pose itself as corporate, but is it really going to be worth, all that money? I don't think so. We'll be right back.
Heart Relay. Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Call me U.S. Steel, 21st Century Fox soundbite. Who gives a damn what's true or false? Long as it leans to the right. Add a token liberal, pretend I'm fair. I've been before some sex appeal. I'm busy oiling up the corporation wheel, and they call me U.S. Steel.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Now, Barack Obama is out there on television speechifying about how J.P. Morgan's loss needs to be investigated and calling for reforms and new legislation. Okay, well, that's something that's appropriate to say during an election year. But Obama is grandstanding because the fact is that what happened at J.P. Morgan and indeed the whole mortgage-backed security fraud happened because the existing laws were not being enforced, which, by the way, happens to actually be Barack Obama's job, to enforce the laws passed by the Congress. Instead of covering it all up, doing a token wrist slap on the banking industry and sending them back out to loot and pillage among the American people. And this is the cycle that goes on. They make a bunch of rules. They let their buddies get away with violating them. Problems happen, and then they make speeches saying, oh, yes, vote for me, and I'll pass more laws to make sure this never happens again. The laws get passed, and they get ignored again. Everything that Wall Street did with the mortgage-backed security fraud and foreclosure gate was already illegal. The U.S. federal government as a policy in 2008 said, we're not going to investigate, we're not going to prosecute because it would damage the trustworthiness of the American financial system. Like we have any of it left. And so don't buy it when Obama's out there saying, we're going to investigate and we're going to reform. They had a chance to do it before and he didn't. Remember, Obama sent Geithner up to New York to pressure their attorney general not to investigate the mortgage-backed security fraud. We're in an election year, which means Obama's going to say what he thinks you want to hear, but without actually doing anything that might offend his big Wall Street donors. Meanwhile, Jamie Dimon, the chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase, is basically taking the attitude of, well, it's $2 billion in losses. Happens all the time. It's business as normal. There's no big deal here. Nothing to see, citizens. Move along. Could happen to anybody. Just it's just the luck of the draw. It's no big deal. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. Well, I'm sure from where you sit, $2 billion may be a molehill, but it looks like a heck of a mountain to us out here who sooner or later are going to be asked to pick up the tab on this thing. You know, it is amazing. There's an old saying that a man cuts his wisdom teeth the first time he bites off more than he can chew. But that educational benefit is lost if the teeth that do the biting and the teeth that have to do the chewing aren't in the same mouth. And the reason we see J.P. Morgan going on with these incredibly reckless, you know, try for a home run and to heck with the risk projects like just lost this $2 billion is because they never suffered the consequences of their last disaster because the costs were transferred onto the American people. So there's no incentive for Wall Street to mend its ways. There's no incentive for Wall Street to obey the laws. The incentive is quite the opposite. Break the laws, lie, cheat, and steal, get lots and lots of money. So, let's see. Apparently, Merkel has basically laid down the law saying that either the new government of – well, they don't have a new government. They have to go back for new elections. But either Greece goes back to austerity cuts or they'll be kicked out of the euro. I think Greece would be better off out of the eurozone. The eurozone has been a disaster for every single country in it. Why are they – what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome? Private central banks destroy every single nation they are in. Why do we keep on doing the same mistake? Greece should leave. Greece should follow Iceland's example. Throw the crooked bankers in jail, fire the government that helped them do it, erase the mortgage debt that was achieved fraudulently, and start the economy over again. Half of Greece's debt came from that devil's bargain that Papandreou made with Goldman Sachs to try and hide the debt problem. With these funny currency swaps, which made Goldman Sachs a lot of money and almost doubled the Greek debt. Why should the Greek people pay for Papandreou's criminal fraud? Nobody's ever come up with a reason why any citizen anywhere should have to pay the costs of their government's criminal actions. We're only obligated to pay for lawful activity by the government that serves the people paying those taxes. And it all goes back to those private central banks. 10 things you need to know about the Federal Reserve. 1, the Federal Reserve System is a privately owned bank. It's no more federal than Federal Express. Fact 2, the Federal Reserve is a perpetual debt machine. We've covered this one many, many times before. There's always going to be more debt than money under this kind of a banking system. That's why it is the doom of any country that it is in, that is enslaved to it. 3, the Federal Reserve has destroyed more than 96% of the value of the U.S. dollar. 4, the Federal Reserve can bail out whoever it wants to with no accountability to the government or the people. 5, the Federal Reserve is paying banks not to loan money. 6, the Federal Reserve creates artificial economic bubbles that are extremely damaging to the general public. 7, the Federal Reserve is dominated by the big Wall Street banks. 8, it is not an accident that we saw the personal income tax and the Federal Reserve both created in 1913. 9, the current Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke has a nightmarish track record of incompetence. And 10, the Federal Reserve is way too powerful. We'll be back after these commercials.
Your are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
There's no such thing as a holy war. It's a hoax. It's a lie. When Pope Innocent III created the concept of holy war for God, he was lying. There's nothing holy or glorious or glamorous or noble about war. It is mass murder and robbery wrapped in a flag. That's all it is. The current war is all about financial systems imposing private central banks on the free people of the world at the point of American bayonets. Now, then, we talked about this earlier in the show. Venezuela is considered one of the most progressive countries in terms of supporting workers at a time where here in the United States and in Europe, workers are losing their union rights. They're seeing their wages and salaries slashed to the bone. And as a result, the economies are collapsing. The Venezuelan government has its economy thriving. How are they doing that? Because they're making sure the workers are able to earn a good living. And what do the workers do with that money they're making for earning a good living? They go to the stores. They go to the banks. They buy things. That's what makes an economy work. The Wall Street money junkies have forgotten that. Before you can take wealth from the people, you first have to make sure they have the means to create that wealth. But when you game the system to create vast amounts of debt through fraud, and you sit there saying, you must pay this debt, we don't care how you come up with it, and then you send all the high-paying jobs overseas to save a few pennies, the system is going to lock up. It's already locking up here in the United States of America and all over Europe, and they are on the path to total collapse. Venezuela has the right idea. As long as you make sure your working and middle classes are earning decent livings, they will fuel the economy of the upper class. An economy is very much like a building. You can't pick it up by the roof to move it. You've seen when people move a building, move a house, move a church, move whatever, they have to dig down under, grab it by the foundation, pick it up, and then they can move it to the new location and put it down, and it's in one piece. That foundation is the working and middle class people. If you try and pick that building up by grabbing onto the roof, it's going to shatter. And yet all of federal government fiscal policy for the last decade has been to try and grab the economy by its top, by Wall Street, by pouring money all over there and saying, yeah, we're going to pick up the whole economy because we believe in trickle-down economics, which is the theory that if you give the rich people more and more food, that the poor people scrambling for the scraps will somehow eat better, and it doesn't really work out that way. Most of the rich people who got that extra money from the trickle-down approach to economics, they trickled it out to other countries. There's a difference between running an economy and simply looting your society. If you're trying to run the economy, you have to make sure the money is flowing at all levels of society. If it's just, let's grab all the money and shovel it into Washington, D.C. and Wall Street, it's going to collapse. Maybe they know that that's what's going on. We've got a coffee cup we sell around here that says the last official act of any government is to loot the nation. It does look like that's what they're doing here. Just looting the nation, grabbing it all, getting ready to head for the Cayman Islands or wherever. Meanwhile, over in Europe, they're taking time away from their fiscal problems to wag the finger over there at Israel's illegal settlements, and the European Union looks to be getting ready to institute its own form of the boycott movement, saying that they are going to ban or severely tax products being created in Israel's illegal settlements on Palestinian land. Of course, Israel already has a way to get around that. Products that are being made in the illegal settlements are labeled as coming from other places. They've been doing that for years as well. Now, today, of course, is the anniversary of the Nakba, the catastrophe. Israel's all in an upset because they want everybody in Israel, including the Palestinians, to see this is a wonderful, great holiday. Wonderful, great holiday, which is, makes, you know, you're not going to get the Native Americans here in the United States to get all hot and bothered about Columbus Day. It's just not going to happen. From the Palestinians' point of view, this is the anniversary of the day. A bunch of Europeans came in and stole their country. And they're not really going to be in a celebratory mood about that, no matter how much the IDF clubs them around the head, tear gasses them. The absurdity of Israel's approach to this is that they want everybody around the world to always remember every bad thing that was done to every Jewish person in history. At the same time, they're demanding that nobody ever remember any of the bad things Jewish people have done to others around them. It's one of the most extreme of the double standards and hypocrisies that have resulted in so much societal friction. That the Palestinians are commemorating 64 years of catastrophe, that's what they're calling it. The day when the newly declared nation of Israel basically stole their country. And there are violent clashes with the IDF troops. Apparently one of the Israeli officers arrested a bunch of Palestinian activists who included some foreign international observers, which is why this story got out. And this Israeli officer basically tied these women up and threatened to rape them all. Now, if that happened in Syria right now, given the push for to try and get Assad's out there, if Syria's officials were tying up women and threatening to rape them, it would be headline news all over the place. Oh, my goodness, look at those horrible Syrians here. Well, the Israelis are doing the same thing. Yeah, but their good qualities allow them to do that, according to Hillary Clinton. But whether you like it or not, the Nakba is part of Israel's history. And it's fairly recent history. And the problem is that Israel compounds it by continuing the theft of Israeli lands. And a good example, of course, is this development over in Ulpana, where they built this huge housing development in the Beit El neighborhood in the West Bank. And the residents there saying they thought the land was owned by this developer. And it turns out that he just built it on Palestinian land that he did not own. And I know why he did it. Because he knows the Israeli courts will not order the demolition of the housing development. They'll simply tell the Palestinians, well, yeah, he took your land. Here's $20. Get out of here. Over in Iran, they have hung a Mossad agent for one of the murders of their nuclear scientists in 2010. Israel responded by getting out there and screaming about no more talks, let's go to war immediately. Israel is afraid that any talks with Iran are going to basically head off a unilateral military strike. As you know, today, they're supposed to be voting on that measure in the House of Representatives, which will basically say the only possible response the United States can have to Iran's nuclear threat is to go to war. No talks, no containment, no sanctions, just kill them all, let God sort them out. We're still waiting to hear what the vote on that is going to be. We're going to grab a couple of phone calls here. We've got Scott in Wisconsin. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, checking in our new pod. We moved over and bought a house through this hard time. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm having, boy, I hope it works out for you. I don't think we've hit the bottom of the real estate market yet, so
well,
unless you got a really sweet deal on it.
Well, we did, and we stayed in the ballpark, brother. We didn't go out and say we need a 3,500 square foot house, you know, and that. But, you know, Michael, God bless you. I got this computer system fired back up, and you hit the nail right on the head. Mr. Puppet Barnecki, and I see J.P. Morgan now is in being exhausted in that. And the thing is that you're right. The only thing that these guys can do is if they raise the interest rates, they're going to crash it. They can't raise it. That's why they're going to keep them at zero or low. And the best thing that they're doing right now is, like you said, they keep printing money. But the dangerous part about this, Michael, is you know what the old term is love thy neighbor. Well, with these other countries, like you were talking, China, all these other European and Asian countries, especially over in the sand, you neglect them and you don't take care of your neighbors and they start ditching your worthless dollar, you're really cooked.
And you know, you have hit a really, really good point here, because everybody who's always talking about globalism is always in terms of how does the globe serve me? And they have completely abandoned the idea of thinking globally in favor of Adam Smith's, you know, religious theory that if I'm greedy for myself, somehow I serve all of humanity, even though Nobel Prize-winning mathematician John Nash actually proved that that was wrong and proved that the best way to prosper your own company is to think about the community and the state and the country and the globe around you. Henry Ford proved that. Henry Ford's primary rule was you can become prosperous by making the community around you prosper. And why did we forget that simple wisdom? Well, because money junkies are lazy. And they can only feel wealthy if everybody else around them is dirt poor.
Well, that's right, Michael. And you know, you talked about it just earlier about, and I was affected, about how they have gutted the inner structure of America with these jobs and factories that moved over the water, but look at how many have closed in America. And then you were talking about the infrastructure of our bridges. And it's just like somebody going in to have heart surgery, okay? And the doctor screws up and takes all his organs out of his stomach and his intestines and that, goes, oops, it's too late. But I just wanted to call and check
in with you
there.
That's HMOs for you.
And you take care, Michael, and I'm glad to hear that you're going to another three-hour show, and you keep up the good work, brother.
I will do my best. Thanks an awful lot there. All righty. It really is a good point to bring about. This push for globalism is a very one-sided deal, where there are people who dream of ruling the entire globe, but they don't want to really rule it. They want to loot it. They want to pillage it. But they're not at all interested in actually making it run. And if you look at every single empire in history, with very, very preciously few exceptions, the imperial leadership never really wanted to make the country all that much better. You know, they would make improvements for military purposes and for anything that would yield them a quick buck. But overall, certainly here in the United States of America, our leadership is all about grabbing for themselves before the end of term in office. Early retirement, take the money, skip off to the Cayman Islands, and complete utter disregard for everything else around them. And I know there was that whole greed is good and personal selfishness makes the system work better, and it's an article of faith among the Wall Street money junkies because it justifies a lot of personal selfish behavior. But it doesn't work. We can see it doesn't work. John Nash proved mathematically it would not work. Henry Ford understood the best way to long-term prosperity is to make the community around you prosperous. You have to keep the money moving at all levels of society. If you make your working and middle-class populations wealthier, there's more wealth there for you to acquire through sales of products and services. You don't have to game the system to become rich. People will have money they're willing to spend. That's what capitalism is supposed to be, where everybody is doing well. Some people will do better, like, again, a James Cameron or a Steven Jobs, who come up with entertainments or products we voluntarily choose to give them our money for. That's what capitalism is supposed to be. Not this idea of taking the money and shuffling it around and hoping it'll grow all by itself, and then when it doesn't work and the losses come in, you politic the losses onto the American people. Going to take one more call. Arthur in Georgia. Aloha, Arthur. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, just real quick on that last caller before I move on. Sometimes the buck should not stop here. You can take that anywhere you want to go with that one.
Okay.
Mike, I'm just kind of curious. When we look at this upcoming event in Chicago, and a lot of us are expecting this to be a false flag, I see a possibility, let's say we have a false flag of, declaration of martial law. Okay, well, one problem there is martial law does not work if the people have guns. So the question here becomes, how do they implement and enforce martial law when two-thirds of the American people have two or more guns if they don't get the guns out of the hands of the people before they declare martial law? I mean, this is going to be a real stink pot here.
I don't think they're going to try and declare martial law for that very reason. I think if there is a false flag in Chicago, it'll more than likely be Israel behind it, because Israel is desperate to get the Americans back into their proper place as Israel's mercenary soldiers against all those evil Muslims. So what if there is a false flag, okay, and everybody's going to be using Chicago and the G8 for their political purposes, whether it's staging riots and blaming the Occupy movement for it or all the rest of that stuff. But if there is a false flag in Chicago, more than likely it'll be initiated by Israel. They'll have help here in the United States of America with the idea of trying to trick all of Americans into a blind hatred of Iran. And if they can do that, they don't need martial law. They will not need martial law. It's like the attack on Pearl Harbor. They didn't need to declare martial law after that. Everybody was ready to throw themselves onto the enemy's bayonets at that point. And so that's what rule by deception really means. By way of deception, thou shalt do war. And the first thing you do is you lie to the people who are going to die in that war for you, according to Sun Tzu.
Okay, point well taken, but we also know, too, that the only way that they can get their global government, their one world order, their total control tyranny, is to remove from the people the ability to resist that tyranny, and that means removing from the private ownership of the people their firearms. Now,
no, actually, that's one way to do it, but, a better way to do it that's going to be a little less easy to see is you remove the, is you put a lot of distance between the one world government and the people who would be most opposed to it. And, here in the United States of America, we have the federal government, and then we have all the state governments, and we have the local governments. And the state and local governments are basically vestigial remnants of the earlier republic. The real power has been concentrated in Washington, D.C. Now, on the global level, the real power appears to be concentrated in Israel. And so Israel is so far away, it doesn't matter if we, the American people, are armed or not. We can't get at them. And as long as we have all these intermediary vestigial governments who understand that their own personal fortunes are tied to those of the global empire, it's just like the Roman Empire. The governorships of all the Roman provinces obeyed Rome's will because it made them richer as well. And it's just a big, giant sellout from top to bottom. And, you know, I'm very alarmed that apparently the U.S. government is going to have some huge number of Russian troops stationed here in the United States for anti-terrorism training.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reality is that if we could get all 200 million Americans who have guns to stand up and fight at the same time, there's no way they could be defeated. What the government is going to do is they're going to take, you know, 100,000 soldiers and go after 5,000 Americans at a time.
Well, that's a possibility, but don't you think that that would immediately force the rest of the people to step up in arms?
At some point, and then we'll have a civil war on our hands. Thanks for the call. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome to the What Really Happened radio show. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're in a situation here in the United States of America, 40% unemployment rate. 40, almost 50 million Americans on food stamps. Well, they're going to cut that so that they can keep the Pentagon budget. They already have. They voted that through. And so with all these problems, collapsing bridges, deteriorated roads, water mains breaking all over the place, we've had two of them here on Oahu in the last week. What is our United States Congress doing? Well, they're worried about Israel. They're all in a hot leather about Israel. Wisconsin's Congressman Paul Ryan has introduced House Resolution 5652. It was passed through the House on May 10th without a single co-sponsor. This legislation, if signed into law, will basically add an additional $310 billion over the next 10 years to offset mandatory cuts to defense spending. And part of that defense spending, of course, is going to Israel for Iron Dome here. Now, another House resolution, House Resolution 4133, the United States-Israel Enhanced Security Cooperation Act of 2012, basically commits the United States government to give Israel whatever money it takes for Israel to maintain military superiority over all of its other nations in that region. It's a blank check, and it's on your bank account. And it apparently just passed the House of Representatives 411-2. Ron Paul being one of the two who voted against it. And by the way, as a little factoid, apparently 8,300,000 American seniors were missing meals in 2010, which is the last year they have statistics for, because of the collapse of retirement pensions and Social Security and all the rest of that stuff. Our children are going hungry. Our seniors are going hungry. But by golly, they're going to keep throwing your money at Israel. We are living under a Vichy government, like when the Nazis took over France and they said, oh, this is your new government and they will take care of you for us. We're in exactly the same situation here right now. I don't know when the United States lost its war with Israel, but we got conquered and we're being treated like an ancient Roman province. Meanwhile, fighting has erupted in Lebanon. Apparently, these U.S. and Israeli terrorists trying to destabilize Syria have a bad habit of going into Syria, blowing up something, say, ooh, Abbas did it, and then they hop over the border to Lebanon. Well, apparently, they've made such an annoyance and nuisance of themselves in Lebanon that it's kicked up some fighting there. So now Lebanon is an area of conflict. And, of course, the ultimate plan, this all goes back to an article that Seymour Hersh wrote in 2007, saying that the U.S. and Israel, aided by Saudi Arabia, were assembling this region-wide army of extremist mercenaries, all deniable, to basically go after Lebanon and Syria in order to complete the united front against Iran. So it's all going to chaos over there. Obviously, Israel's going to get their war with Iran, one way or the other. All they're trying to figure out is how to sucker you into it. How do we get the American people who have had 10 years of war and poverty and nothing to show for it, how do we get them to throw yet another generation of our babies onto the bayonets of the designated evil ones? That's going to be a tough sell. May take a mushroom cloud over Chicago. We're going to take a break for station identification. We will be right back.
Next.